American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins. And today's date is October 2nd, 2023. It's that first Monday of the month. Of course, we have our special guest back every Monday on the first of the month, Mr. Hartley Schlanger, live from Berlin and unplugged. Welcome back, Hartley.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be with you again.
Yeah, sorry we missed you last September there because we did a little closure for a day off for Labor Day, but glad to have you back. I've got your itinerary here today. We're going to talk about some articles you have recently posted on your website, and we're going to actually post these on the RBN website once the show is over also. But I want to get into those. Those are great topics because the very first one, you read my mind. I was actually was thinking the same thing about Elon Musk and big tech and their involvement in this proxy war that we have with Russia going through Ukraine. And so the first topic, the first title we're going to talk about here is Elon Musk, Big Tech, and NATO Proxy War Through Ukraine. So let's go ahead and start there, Harley.
Well, the thing that intrigued me at first was that Musk, while he had given his Starlink system, which is essentially a satellite system that's decentralized so it can be easily transmitted to individual units on the ground, he gave about 15,000 kits to Ukraine to use after the Russians knocked out their cyber capability. And he gave it to them for free. Now, in other words, he made himself a part of the war by doing that. But this wasn't really generally well known until the book by Walter Isaacson, the biography of Musk, came out. The first chapter was released at the beginning of this last month, September. And he reported that Musk had deactivated the coverage of the Black Sea. And it turns out Musk sent out a correction and said, no, he didn't deactivate it. He never activated it because right. He was afraid that Ukraine would use that to launch a strike against the Russian Black Sea fleet, which he described would have been a mini Pearl Harbor and probably led to a nuclear war. Correct. Now, in that, I think he was absolutely right. But there's a whole other question that comes up around the relationship between big tech and the military-industrial complex in Ukraine right now. And that was the other part of my article.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I see Google and Amazon's name, and there are a couple others on the list, though. Also, I had no idea that they were involved in this war, this proxy war. I did know that Musk was there, and I agree with you 100%. He's been involved now in this war here that the United States can't seem to get out of or doesn't want to get out of because they have agenda also. But I guess a question I have for you, I'm trying to figure this guy out, Hartley. He's a hard guy to figure out. He talks about having, being for free speech, the Constitution, and then the government goes after him, and he says, I'm giving you all this free stuff, the satellite Starlink thing. I'm giving you all this free stuff, but they keep attacking him. Is he controlled opposition, Hartley?
Well, I think it's more complex than that. On the one hand, he's one of those unique people who has enough individual power that he can do things that he wants to do. And we saw what he did with Twitter initially when he released the files to Matt Taibbi and others. He did do a lot of damage to the national security state, because what became clear is not only there was censorship, but it was coming from the FBI, the CIA, the National Security Agency, as well as from the Congress. And so in doing that, it showed that he does have a certain capability as an independent to change the direction of policy. Now, on the other hand, the fact that he was willing to support the war as much as he has, and he did it initially, he gave the systems, he didn't charge anything. Then later on, after he'd been involved in it for about 8 months, he signed a contract, and now he's getting paid. So it's not all altruism. That raises the whole question of what he actually thinks about the war. And we just saw a tweet from him a couple of days ago where he really went after Zelensky. Mm-hmm. And he said, gee, Zelensky went 5 minutes without asking for $1 billion. This is what he looks like when he does that. So he's willing to tweak people in power. The question is, what is his ultimate goal other than amassing power for himself? Yeah. And that I don't know. I'm looking forward to reading the Isaacson biography, although I'm sure it won't be totally truthful. But, you know, it's the question is, can billionaires direct the policy of the nation? Now, it shouldn't be surprising, because what the hell is a military-industrial complex?
That's right.
Exactly. What are the corporate cartels and big pharma?
Exactly.
Raw materials and so on. Right. In a sense, we have corporations controlling the government.
Yeah.
And I get a kick out of it when people say, oh, the government's this, the government's that, blaming the government as though it's some self-standing autonomous entity. It's a controlled operation controlled by interlocking boards of directors of the largest corporations who have no loyalty to the American people, only to each other and their own power.
Exactly.
And it is internationalist, it is globalist, and it does represent an extreme threat to the independence and sovereignty of our nation.
Well, I heard today, I was watching a little bit of Newsmax today, a little bit of Real America's Voice, and three different words popped up, and they're all synonymous, Harley. We talked about fascism, they talked about the corporate cabal, and then they also talked about corporatism. And I think you're pretty much right on top of it. You're right. If these individuals, these corporations, can dictate policy, world policy, economic policy, foreign policy, then certainly one billionaire that's the richest man on the planet can do the same thing as a corporation. I agree with you there.
But see, here's the really interesting thing.
Okay.
When it turned out that he had made the decision not to give the coverage of the Black Sea, you had Elizabeth Warren, Chuck Schumer, Blumenthal from Connecticut, these war hawk Democrats, as well as some Republicans, challenging that. And here you have the Republicans who are supposedly free enterprise saying the government should be regulating this. And then you have Elizabeth Warren and others who are angry because Zelensky didn't carry through the war policy. So now we're seeing, quite belatedly, the Congress looking at this question of big tech and wondering what they're dealing with. And here's the real contradiction. The companies that are involved in the war, you mentioned Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, Palantir. Most people don't know Palantir, but that's an extremely important data collection agency, which also tracks satellites, Musk's Starlink and SpaceX and so on. What's important about it is now that they're involved in the kinetic part of the war, that is the actual war fighting, but at the same time they have big tech platforms, they can censor reports on what they're doing.
Right.
And so that's the other area where things become dangerous.
Yeah, it is. You know, just a couple of days ago, I think you probably saw our news that Elon Musk has gone to the southern border to assess the illegal invasion. So your comments, you know, does he have the pull, does he have the might to dictate foreign policy? Well, we're going to see real fast, because he went down to the southern border and he reported on the illegal invasion coming to this country. And he says it's worse than he thought. And we clearly are being invaded by a foreign entity there. So
and he made
an
interesting point. Yeah. He called on civilian reporters. He said people who have cameras, people who have capabilities to do this, should go in and investigate what's going on, not just on the border, but on all kinds of corruption. Now, of course, you know, immediately the news media came out and said, well, this would be terrible because you have people who aren't trained, who don't know how, can't tell the difference between a conspiracy theory and reality, as if the media is a judge of that. But the point is that what they're terrified of is that something will get out to people that's not part of the controlled narrative. And you can see that's what why they're afraid of Musk. That's why instead of having Schumer and others attack him for what he did in Ukraine or what he didn't do in Ukraine, they had the Anti-Defamation League attack him, claiming that he's allowing anti-Semitic voices to come out on his X platform. And, you know, Musk, I think, initially did some fighting back against that. But I think he may have been a little intimidated because the ADL is one of those corporate entities that has a lot of power when it comes to smearing people and slandering them and affecting their business.
Yeah, you don't want that label attached to you, anti-Semite. You don't want that attached to you. That labeling, if they can't get you in other ways, they'll simply label you and destroy your business. Definitely a tactic that they use. Just the other day, White House prepares to fight for Ukraine aid even after the shutdown is looming here, the government shutdown. Of course, this is the most amazing thing, that we're the country is broke. We filed bankruptcy, and now we have a 45-day stay gap to divert the actual going under as far as the government goes. And then in 45 days, hopefully we'll have figured out the budget and we can come back together and get the government functioning. I tell you the truth, Harley, last time they had a shutdown, I hardly even noticed it. So I don't think Americans really care. But
there are a couple of points here that are worth noting.
Sure.
The one good thing about what happened with the budget that was eventually pushed through just Sunday is that initially Biden was asking for an additional $24.6 billion in authorization for the Ukraine war. The Republicans whittled that down initially to $6 billion, and then it was kicked out of the budget completely. Now, Biden immediately said, oh, don't worry, we'll get it in another way. Defense Secretary from Raytheon, Lloyd Austin, of course, never wanted to miss an opportunity to send more money to his military-industrial complex comrades, came out and said, we told Zelensky we'll get him the money. But what we're seeing now is a potential turning point in this war. The counteroffensive has not succeeded. We were told it would succeed. Ukraine is tough. We'll get them the weapons. It's made no discernible difference at all, except the raising the kill rate of young Ukrainians. That's one problem. Secondly, how is throwing more money and weapons into a situation where you are now lacking personnel to carry out the war? That's another problem. And then war fatigue is setting in. In just two examples, in Slovakia, which was a very strong supporter of the war, used to be part of Czechoslovakia. It's an independent nation. Its government has been very supportive of the Ukraine war. They had an election Sunday, and an anti-war leader won the election and can put together a coalition that will stop funding the war. Then you have in Poland, which was one of the strongest supporters of the Ukraine war against Russia. Poland all of a sudden said they're not going to send any more weapons because Ukraine is dumping cheap grain into Poland, hurting Polish farmers. And at the same time, the Ukrainian immigrants are putting a big strain on the budget. So you look at those two countries, then you start hearing reports in Italy. The immigration is now having a big effect on Italy, and people are getting angry at the government there for sending money to Ukraine and not doing anything to stop the illegals coming into the country. Sound familiar? It's the same problem we're seeing in the United States. Yeah. And Steve, one final point on this. The Washington Post did a poll on what would happen if the election for president were held today and it was between Trump and Biden. And they wouldn't report the results because the results were Trump 52, Biden 42. And so the idea that they can keep this war going with money from the American people when people are losing jobs, we're losing our industry, we're losing the battle on the border. I think we're about to have a fundamental shift globally, and that's also the de-dollarization fight coming from the poorer countries in the world that are saying, you can't tell us what to do anymore. We're sovereign nations. Yeah. We're going to have big financial shocks. Now, Biden won't know it because Biden doesn't know much of anything going on around him. That's but true. It's going to hit the Treasury. It's going to hit Yellen. Blinken is going to go crazy. And the bond markets are going to go crazy. They're already the only thing supporting the U.S. bond market right now, and this is a report that just came out the other day, are hedge funds. Yeah. But why are hedge funds moving in so heavily into the bond market? Because they're going to speculate, which means private finance will be shaping what happens with interest rates and the debt question. So when you brought up initially that now we have till November 17th to work this out, they're going to come up with another way to continue to loot the American people to keep this market going because of the power of the hedge funds right. and groups like BlackRock.
Right. Yeah, destroy and then go back in and rebuild. That's pretty much what BlackRock has on their mind. Let me throw a comment at you, first of all. The 52-42, I know these polls. Everybody's got a poll. And I have a hard time believing there's only a 10% gap between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, only because of our economy is swirling. It's going down the drain. We got strikes everywhere, the union auto workers here. We got a big health crisis, healthcare strike coming on pretty soon with Kaiser Permanente out here. Looks like it's going to happen. 75,000 people walking out in seven different states. We've got numerous problems. Inflation, gas prices are going up. Everything you can think of is going bad in this administration. So I have a hard time believing that 42% of this population is saying, "Yeah, I kind of like the direction we're going in." I just don't believe those polls, Hardy. Well, I think
there's a poll on the direction, and only 34% think we're going in the right direction. The question in a presidential poll, though, is not whether we're going in the right direction, but what people think of the candidates. And the people who are supporting Biden are doing so because they're terrified of Trump coming in. And many of the people who are going to support Trump recognize the mess that Biden has created. So, you know, as a snapshot, it tells you one thing, which is that if the Democrats had any brains in their head, they'd dump Biden.
Yeah.
Because here you have Trump. And remember, 52% for Trump when he's facing four criminal indictments and all the media attacks on him for that. And yet still more than half the people polled say they'd vote for him. Yeah. That's why I tend to believe the poll is probably accurate. It may be, and by the way, that poll doesn't include whether Bobby Kennedy Jr. is in or not.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad you mentioned that, because just today that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said he's going to go as an independent. The Democrats don't like him anyway, but he's going to go as an independent, which means he could possibly be a spoiler in 2024, Harley. And I was thinking about that today. If he's a spoiler, like many of others have been in the past, it'd probably be a good idea for Donald Trump to sit down with him and cut a deal and say, hey, you know, you're really good at what you do, going after drug companies, the vaccine industry, and these different things. Put you in charge of Health and Human Services here. You go after Fauci. You go after all these people. I'll put you in my administration. You'll have all the power in the world. I'd hate to see that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. coming in and pulling not only independent votes away from Donald Trump, because I don't think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. it's his time. It's not his time. But I do believe he could turn out to be a spoiler, Harley, and that could be a bad thing for America.
Well, let me put it a little differently, because I think we're going to see the electorate turn even more dramatically angry as the economy worsens. What you were saying before about people don't like the economy as it is, most Americans are still somewhat accepting of the line that comes out that the economic policy isn't so bad, that inflation is going down a little bit. Yeah, gas prices are up, but that fluctuates. The media has a very powerful effect in manipulating things, but it's going to get much worse. The housing market is going to be in big trouble.
Yes.
The, as you mentioned, the healthcare system, the transportation system. 6 months from now, the economy is going to be much, much worse, which means that Biden is a sitting duck. Now, the question then becomes, what will Bobby Kennedy have to offer besides nostalgia for John Kennedy? And secondly, what happens with Trump on the legal cases? I think we could see something that goes far beyond what Ross Perot did in 1992. Now, remember, Perot was a spoiler. He helped elect Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. What did he get? Something like 17%. I think there's a possibility that if the campaign is done properly, and it looks as though Bobby Kennedy is pretty savvy when it comes to running strategy, that he could end up being the president. So, you know, I wouldn't, my main point is not to predict that, but to say that anybody who thinks they can predict the outcome based on the direction right now, for example, suppose the United States is forced to admit Ukraine can't win the war and we're going to drop Zelensky. That's it for the Democrats because they've turned themselves into 100% the war party. But what do the Republicans do when the Democrats then pivot and say, okay, now we have to take on China? And the U.S. military doesn't want to take on China. They're looking for any way out of it that they can find. So there's so many intangibles. What if there's another COVID lockdown? Uh-huh. What, this could blow back against Trump because people remember Trump was in during the last lockdown and he's also associated with the vaccine policy. Uh-huh. So there's so many intangibles right now that I wouldn't eliminate the possibility that we could have someone from outside the two-party system elected in 2024, assuming they allow the election to occur if the situation gets worse.
Yeah, they may not let it happen. It may not happen in 2024. But I was thinking here that the bigger the gap between these two here, I'm looking for a landslide, actually, a big landslide, much bigger than we had in 2020. Of course, they cheated in 2020. We know that. We can prove that. So I'm thinking that the if they have a close gap, and then Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in there and pulls more votes away, then it's closer and closer. It may be easy for them, again, to do the same maneuvers they did last time to steal the election from Donald Trump. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't want to see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be the spoiler here. I want to see a nice, large gap between the two. So it'll be much harder to steal this election. I've been thinking in that direction.
Steve, I think on the Democratic side, something's going to break before the end of this year because it's so clear that Biden is not up to the task. You know, the guy can't even walk away from a podium without making a fool of himself. You have people like Blinken, who goes back to the Brzezinski school of technocracy, Sullivan, Susan Rice, Victoria Nuland, a whole crew of literal demons running the administration. And Biden is the puppet in their hands. Right. The question is, will people figure out that these guys I just mentioned, who are part of the cabal, they're not the ones calling the shots? It's being called by Wall Street and City of London banks, the international global financial and insurance networks and the cartels. Now, this is where something really fascinating is occurring. And let's just take one aspect of it. I'll just throw this out for we can discuss it or not as you like. But what's happening with gas prices right now? Why are the prices going up? Because the Saudis and the Russians are cutting production to screw Biden. They're working together. And the Saudis were just added to the nations that will be part of the BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa alliance, along with United Arab Emirates. So you have two of the, and Iran, so three of the world's largest oil producers plus Russia are all in this alliance where they could tilt the election against Biden if they wanted to. And so there are these kinds of developments out of the control of the corporate cartels. And my point in making this is that Americans have to start thinking on a higher strategic level. Instead of seeing Russia and China as enemies or adversaries, the policies they're moving towards with de-dollarization, breaking with the International Monetary Fund and the central banks. These are actually good policies for the United States. Yeah. We should be paying attention to this because our enemies in the United States are not Russia and China. They're the bankers and the corporate cartels.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So if Joe Biden doesn't make it to the starting gate there in 2024, I don't think he will, Harley. I don't think he'll be there. He is fading away. He's getting worse and worse. Cognitively, I watch him. He's got a level of dementia going on there, no doubt about it, no doubt about it. I'm not sure how long they can cover for him, but they must be in full panic mode right now, the Democrats. So they're looking for a number two and number three, possibly backup to Joe Biden not being there. And for some reason, I don't know why I keep thinking they're going to be pushing Gavin Newsom, California Governor Gavin Newsom, to the starting gate. But he's destroyed California. California is in bad, bad shape. Corporations are leaving. The population is leaving. High gas prices, high inflation, everything. The illegal immigration issues they have, the cost. It's a mess. I can't imagine the Democrats putting their money on a guy that's destroyed one state and expect him to be the commander-in-chief, president of the United States, if he can't take care of one state. But then we're seeing Michelle Obama. Actually, she was out in your neck of the woods there in, I think, Germany or Berlin or Frankfurt. I think she was in Frankfurt. Have no idea what she's out there doing, some diversity speeches. But there's a thought that they're going to run her. Of course, the puppet president in the background behind the curtain would be, of course, Barack Obama. So he'd be having a third or fourth term now. I think he's running Biden right now. But I don't know who else the Democrats have for a number two, because I don't think Biden's going to be there, Harley.
Now, they've got a shallow bench. I mean, no one wants Harris in there. No. Newsom, look, the one thing that Newsom might have going for him is that they still claim the California economy is strong. He's got a nice head of hair. he's got the liberal media behind him. Yeah. Their thinking is all he has to do is win the West Coast and the East Coast and maybe pick up a couple of other states, which Biden probably would not be able to do now. Yeah. But I think that's a weak choice. As far as the Obamas, why put Michelle Obama in president when Barack Obama is the front man for the corporate cartels? And, you know, Barack Obama never made policy in the first place. He was always the too cool guy, the no drama Obama. The media created this image of him. But what did he do? The first thing he did coming in after the 2008 banking crisis was to defend the banksters and make sure that 7 million families lost their homes.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that wasn't his policy. That was the policy he was given. Mm-hmm. And I know this from the inside because I was meeting with McCain's people before the election and told them if they want to win, they have to come out against the bailout. And I got a call back from a top guy in their campaign who said, well, some of us agree with you, but John has agreed that he and Obama will go along with what Bush and Paulson are doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was coming from higher up than McCain or Obama. But Obama is the front man, including the controller of people like Blinken and Susan Rice and Samantha Power. That's where the policy is coming from.
You know, you mentioned earlier about the housing bubble, like in 2008. I think we're going to have another one here, too. Now, if this happens, and I believe California will be the first state to have their housing crisis, the bubble burst on the home mortgages, that's going to destroy Gavin Newsom as a potential candidate for 2024. That'll destroy him completely. You agree?
Don't forget about DeSantis, because I think the bubble will pop in Florida also.
Oh, God, I hope not. Okay, well, that's where I'm at. I'm down here.
Yeah.
I'm down here, too.
What's interesting is that because of inflation, the prices of housing are going up. Because of the high interest rates, the credit availability is not there. So why are the prices still going up? Because you have people with money, like BlackRock, that are going in and buying up whole neighborhoods and turning them into rental properties. So the high rents you see in places like Boston and New York and San Francisco, they're going to start coming to the Midwest and the South. It's already
happening.
We've
got some bumper music coming up here. Harley, hold that thought, and don't forget the money coming
from
New York
down to Florida. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Somewhere, I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach the turn again to you. The mist is lifting slowly, I can see the way ahead. And I've left behind the empty streets of the world.
And we are back with my special guest, Harley Schlanger, live from Berlin, Germany, live and unplugged. Questions for you now, real quick here. We talked about the Wall Street, what's going on, how it fluctuates up and down. I've never really believed in it ever since I discovered quantitative easing and plunge protection, these programs that were put in by the government here. I think one was put in by Reagan, one was put in by Clinton. But how much of this is it still going on, plunge protection and quantitative easing in our markets right now, Harley?
Oh, sure. I mean, the even as the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, which makes it harder for producers to get credit, makes it harder for people who want to buy homes to get credit, they're still making vast amounts of credit available to bankers who need the volume of credit for their bankrupt corporate clients. You know, one of the things that people never really figured out, that people like Greenspan and Bernanke and the Federal Reserve chairman use, is this idea of the importance of liquidity. And they say, well, as long as we can create liquidity, we can avoid bankruptcy. Well, liquidity is different from solvency. you can pour money into a bankrupt company so that they can keep paying at least the interest on their debt without being solvent. And in fact, that's what we've seen since the 2008 collapse, and then again on steroids in after 2019, the so-called quantitative easing, which is the more modern version of Clinton's plunge protection team, which was essentially when you find a problem, plunge it up immediately with liquidity. Yeah. But just giving money to someone who's in debt doesn't solve the problem if they're not using that fund to produce something that will give them future income.
I agree.
You know, it's like paying for a mortgage on a credit card. You may be able to cover the next couple of months, but then the volume of interest will go up enormously.
Yeah.
So and this is why they actually believe you can keep kicking the can down the road on the deficit. Yeah. But this is not just a U.S. problem. There's somewhere close to $450 trillion in debt outstanding, owed largely to the biggest banks. And they're the ones who control the central banks. That is, the private banks and the hedge funds, the funds like BlackRock, Vanguard. They control the central banks, who will keep the credit flows going to these financial institutions, who will then loan money to their clients that are bankrupt to keep them in business. And ultimately, this thing will collapse. Yeah, in the meantime, what's collapsing is the physical economy, which is necessary to keep us alive. Right. Food production, housing, transportation, and so on. And here I can tell you very quickly, in Germany, we're going through a rapid deindustrialization that's hitting the auto sector. You know, people know about Mercedes, BMW, Audi, the German manufacturers. They're losing their shirts. Volkswagen is only staying in business because of their Chinese production. The chemical industry is collapsing in Germany, because in Germany you're having the problem of high-priced energy, inflation, and the green policy, which is forcing the shutdown of nuclear, coal, and other fossil fuels for inadequate and inefficient supplies of solar and wind power. So they just had a bill in the parliament. They were trying to force everyone to move from gas heating to heat pumps, right, which would have cost the average homeowner $25,000. And there was finally a rebellion, and they had to switch the policy. But you know, the German coalition government is now at about 34% popularity. So this is a global crisis.
Yes, it is. I'm going to throw a couple of questions at you here. I want to go back to the Ukraine war, because that's really heavy on my mind lately. And of course, our investment in it, which I'm totally against this. And if anybody talks about we have a democracy, we truly don't, because you and I, and I tell you, a good portion of this population is not on board with continuing to send billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. This is not going to work.
Which is unaccountable. It's still unaccountable.
And a lot of it, I will just assume the crookedness, there's no tracking, there's no accountability, that a lot of this money has been stolen already, probably by oligarchs from Ukraine, and probably some of it's been kicked back to the Department of Defense, maybe through some black operations projects or something like that. But the money's not going where it's going. It's just money down the hole, basically, here. So one of my questions was that, if Putin were here right now and we asked him this question, do you think he would answer that, if we ask the question, would you have escalated this much faster to nip it in the bud, or are you still happy with the progress that you're making? Because this thing is really dragging out. We're looking at, February 24th will be, 2 years. So I just wonder if he's happy with the success they have right now, or he wishes maybe he'd underestimated this involvement with the corporations in the U.S. and all this U.S. money coming his way. And this thing is just lingering on and on and on. I wonder if he would have ramped it up much faster if he had to do it over again.
That's a very interesting question. And I can tell you from talking to people in Russia, as well as some very well-informed European sources, that the Russians, while they wish the West would not have gotten involved with the weapons transfer and the money, they're not completely unhappy with it, because ultimately, think about the way the Western governments sell this, people like Mitch McConnell and others. The money we're giving the Ukraine is a good investment because it's weakening Russia. Well, the fact is, Russia is not isolated. The global North is isolated. Russia's economy is stronger now than it was 2 years ago. There are other nations in the world. I mentioned the Saudis is one, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt. There are a whole bunch of nations, Indonesia, that are supporting Russia or opposing NATO in terms of the war. Mm-hmm. So, and then meanwhile, I think NATO and the European Union is what's going to crack first.
Yeah.
So Putin's objective was not to destroy NATO. His objective was to, as he said, denazify Ukraine.
Exactly.
And make sure that Ukraine would not be used as a base for NATO to threaten Russia.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's pretty clear Ukraine is finished as a state. This recent incident in Canada makes clear the extent to which the discussion of Nazis in Ukraine is not something Putin made up, but it's real.
Exactly. Right.
Not only that, but the whole damn West is trying to normalize Nazis because the West's policy, as you pointed out earlier, is actually fascist. It's corporatist.
Right.
So Putin is gaining support around the world, including with young people in the West. So, you know, would Russia like the war to end tomorrow? Sure.
Yeah.
Does Russia want this to go to a nuclear war or a war against NATO? No, they don't. But they're not going to compromise on Donbass and Crimea.
Exactly.
And the West is in a weak position because we're basically betting on a horse that's now quite lame.
Right. I
and
agree.
Just one other point. You mentioned this question about not having democracy here.
Right.
Well, we claim we're supporting democracy in Ukraine. Zelensky just canceled the elections because he's at about 20% popularity in the polls
now. Wow.
He's outlawed all the major opposition parties, all the major opposition newspapers and media. They're dragging people off the streets to conscript them to go into the armed forces. So and there are, I think, something like 11 million Ukrainians have left the country.
Right.
So, you know, this is a terrible blow to the mythology of the U.S. and London and Brussels that Ukraine is a thriving democracy that's being attacked by a fascist Russia that nobody likes. It's all upside down. But the American people don't know that because our media has been so corrupted because the media is a cartel just like Big Pharma.
Yeah. You know, I think Zelensky has not thought this thing out very correctly, is that he's destroying his nation. He's going to destroy the population because he's drafting young boys, 15, 16 years old, into the military. These boys are killed in action here. Well, you can forget about reproduction. The population is going to shrink tremendously. But I started thinking about, you know, the U.S. is at war indirectly with Russia through Ukraine. But then I started to get a little worried when I started thinking, you know, yeah, you're sending over tanks and different things like that, weaponry. But then when you send over F-16s, and I know how long it takes to learn how to fly a jet. I was in the military. I know all about the jets and the planes. So who's flying these F-16s? It looks like the United States is directly now involved. Are they involved in this war with flying jets? Are they attacking Russian sites?
Well, I don't think we have American airmen who are doing that yet, but the U.S. is definitely involved in the targeting through companies like Palantir, Google, and others. But the more important question is that there's a push to escalate. There was just the European Union foreign ministers were in Kiev today to pledge more aid to Zelensky. The new British defense minister, Shapps, made a comment that the British will now send British trainers into Ukraine to train Ukrainian fighters, that they'll send British industries into Ukraine to produce weapons, and the Royal Navy into the Black Sea to protect shipping lanes. Now, immediately, Sunak went crazy and said, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. So the defense minister was just speaking off the top of his head. But the Russians responded very immediately. They said, if you send British trainers into Ukraine, they will be combat casualties very quickly.
Yeah.
Then the Germans, defense chairwoman in the Bundestag, Strack Zimmermann, who's a completely insane lunatic, said Germany will now provide the Taurus missiles, which are long range that can strike inside Russia.
Right.
And Lavrov said, if you do that, then German factories will be targeted by Russia.
Right.
And immediately there was a reaction in Germany, a total panic, because the idea that Germany could be a target for Russia was not what most people thought when they voted for Scholz or the Greens or others. So there's a threat level of an escalation coming from the West, which is based on a delusion that they can defeat the Russian military. And the Russians are basically saying, we're not going to compromise on our goals, but you're going to have to. And just this last month, four top German officials, one of whom was Willy Brandt's son, one was Helmut Kohl's top advisor, Telchik, the former head of the German military and NATO, put out a peace proposal. Now, it's not all that good, because it does say Russia was the aggressor in the war. But what it says is that, look, this is a war that can't be won. We must negotiate. NATO bears responsibility for the escalation, and it must stop. Now, this is having some resonance in Europe, because these are not left-wingers. These are people who have had serious positions in government and the military, and are putting forward an idea that regardless of who gets blamed, we have to stop this.
Right.
And I think that's very important. And my organization, the Schiller Institute, has initiated an international peace coalition, which now includes groups in 40 countries. And there'll be marches and demonstrations over the next month and a half. If people are interested, and I will give out my personal email address and where people can find out more about this. But if people want to be in touch with me, they can always write to me at harleysch@gmail.com. That's harleysch@gmail. Or get my daily video update 5 days a week, which is about 10 to 12 minutes, where I go through the current strategic situation from the standpoint of history and economics. And I think people will find it very, very useful. You can find it at thelaroucheorganization.com. So you can either go to thelaroucheorganization.com or send me an email at harleysch@gmail, and I'll send you a link for free so you can get these daily videos as well as a lot of other material to put you in touch with what's actually happening behind the scenes, as opposed to the BS you're getting in your local paper.
It's terrible, Harley. It is terrible. If not for Newsmax or America's Real Voice, I don't know where I'd go for my information. I go to Lou Rockwell quite a bit and Freedom Phoenix, a lot of good writers there. And, of course, your website. Propaganda being spread out there today, a lot of fear campaign going on still. I saw Kevin McCarthy and Lindsey Graham basically agreeing on this, that it's in the best interest that we stop Russia, because if we don't stop Russia, China will then move on Taiwan. And once Russia goes into Ukraine and takes over Ukraine, well, then they'll move on further and further into Europe, which I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of that. That's just propaganda to keep the money flowing to Ukraine. But that's exactly what they're spreading now, a little fear here, and we must continue to fund Ukraine. And I believe that U.S. politicians, Harley, they don't really care about the amount of money, the amount of U.S. debt that we have. We're saying, $33 trillion. They don't really care, because they know it will never be paid back. And they're looking for the Great Reset, which probably includes a digital currency controlled by the central banks. I think we still have time to respond to that. What do you think of that comment?
Well, primarily, they don't care about the people who vote for them. You know, and in Germany, look, the foreign minister of Germany, who's a green nutcase, Annalena Baerbock, who made her name as a trampoline gymnast, then went to the London School of Economics and is a certifiable lunatic. She said, we are going to stick with Ukraine till the end, no matter what my German voters think.
Wow.
Now, her German voters have now reduced her support level from 26% to 12%.
Wow. Huge.
So at some point, she's going to have to concern herself with that. Yeah. In the U.S., yeah, because of the two-party duopoly, you know, two parties with which basically are the same, there are some Republicans who are showing some guts. You know, I get newsletters from Gosar, Matt Gaetz. Mm-hmm. There are some who are quite good. But the Republican Party as a whole is still a bunch of rhino people connected to the cartels and looking for a payday.
I agree. We're on the same page. We come back after a short commercial break. We got a few more minutes left with Harley Schlanger. Stay tuned.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Ukraine-Russian war here, that Russia is definitely going to win. No doubt about it. They're going to win eventually. But the goal would be to actually probably just split the country in half, kind of like a North Korea, South Korea situation here, and just simply split the country in half. You think that's a good possibility?
Well, I think what we've already seen is the eastern part of Ukraine, which is primarily Russian-speaking, is already largely under the control of the Russian military and has voted actual voting to join Russia. The question is, what happens with the western part of Ukraine? The far west of Ukraine is where what used to be called Galicia. That was the Nazi stronghold. When Hitler went in 1941-42, that's where Ukrainians joined the Nazi SS, This guy who was in the Canadian Parliament the other day.
Right.
And that's the area which really needs to be cleaned up. Now, there's a danger Poland will move in and take part of Ukraine. So I think Ukraine is going to cease to exist unless they reach an agreement with Russia of mutual security guarantees, which is what they had already signed at the end of March 2022 in the negotiations in Turkey.
Right.
And then Boris Johnson, on behalf of NATO, went in and told Zelensky to drop it.
Right.
So there is a precedent for a peace agreement, but I don't think Zelensky will sign it. And the question is, will NATO continue the war until they find Ukrainians who will make a decision to save what's left of their country by signing an agreement with Russia? Now, then the danger is that NATO might use a portion of Ukraine as a staging ground against Russia, but I don't think that will really succeed.
Well, if that happens, then NATO will be attacked by Russia. Russia's not going to let that happen. That's what began the war in the first place.
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
And people really need to know that the Russians don't want to have a war with NATO or a nuclear war. They want security. They want what every nation wants.
Exactly.
And that's why they're gaining support internationally.
Right.
And if people want more details on that, we've written all kinds of stuff on this development of the BRICS, the de-dollarization, the move to local and national currencies. Again, you can write to me at harleysch@gmail.com, and I'll keep you updated on this.
I appreciate that, Harley. You know, one last comment I'm going to make real quick here before we go out on this first hour is that the agenda to keep Joe Biden in play, I guess, as President of the United States, because I do believe there must be something going on with Zelensky blackmailing Joe Biden through his money-making schemes of selling the Biden name. And once Biden is gone, well, you don't have anybody to blackmail now. You need this money to come in to Ukraine again for the funding for the war. So I'm wondering if that's actually going on. There's been a lot of blackmail going on because of Joe's criminal history here. And
well,
Joe has to stay in.
But it could be the case. We know that Biden did intervene to fire the prosecutor. But the problem is that it's not just Zelensky who has the chits on this. Who gave money to Mitch McConnell? Who gave money to McCarthy? Who gave money to the Democrats? You know, there are a lot of people who have blackmail material. But I think the impeachment hearings on Biden are quite interesting. And, I don't think he'll be thrown out of office from them, but I think it may hasten his departure.
Got it. Harley Schlanger, thank you very much for being with us tonight. We look forward to seeing you again in November, first Monday in November. Harley Schlanger, thank you very much for being here. Good night.
Thank you, Steve. Talk to you then.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.